Blog Talk Radio.
Well, all right, you squares. Time you smoke. Fire up this funk and let's have a toke. It'll make you dance with some of everything. Everybody get high.
Y'all know what time it is. It is Thursday, 5 p.m. hour. Let me, once again, y'all, I got to come with another apology. I had broke my, the little clip where the ether cord goes in, I had snapped that port, y'all. Don't know how I did it, you know, but I did it. Y'all know me, man, you know. Sometimes I'm too manly with the things I do. You know what I'm talking about? So that was one of them too manly situations, if you feel where I'm coming from. Hey, Thursday. The Thursday/Friday episode of Kale's Corner. Kale's Corner. Yeah. Hey, man, I missed you guys. It feel like forever since I had, you know, talked to you guys and had a conversation. So today was wanted dearly, and I appreciate all our Facebook listeners, all our live in studio listeners. I just appreciate you all. It is really, really great to see you guys. Let's see. You know, on this new post that I'm on, you guys know I went through some changes. Well, on this new that I'm on, I'm telling y'all, I absolutely love it. I have control over, you know, my expectations and my daily duties already. So it was on your mark, get set, go, and your boy is gone. You hear me? Your boy is gone, and I'm loving it. I'm really, truly loving it. All right, guys. Today on Kale's Corner, we'll discuss the state of the NBA. The state of the NBA. After that terrible All-Star exhibition game, I'm gonna hold my comments. I'm gonna hold my comments, but I'm telling y'all, if that wasn't the worst thing the NBA produced, I'm 200 points, and the losing team scored over 100 points. Can you guys believe that? I mean, I'm just like, wow. I'm like, wow, man. What is going on with the NBA? You know, it's not the same. It doesn't view the same. It just didn't appeal to me at all. So, and I'm going to tell you, because you guys know, I try to watch everything that we talk about. I don't care if it's baseball, football, basketball, hockey, or whatever. I try to watch it all. And I just couldn't with this. I couldn't. It was too much of a farce to me, truly. You know, I have to watch some semblance of defense, you know. I can't just watch guys on the court saying, ole, ole, you know, go ahead, do your thing, you know. So I don't know. And furthermore, we're also going to express which NBA teams are looking strongest headed into the second half of this NBA season. Which team looks strong to you guys? And real quick, if you get a chance, guys, there is a documentary on Antetokounmpo, Giannis Antetokounmpo. Antetokounmpo. And I'm telling you guys, that was a great viewing to me. I was more entertained by that than by this daggone All-Star game, if you really want to be honest. The man came from humble beginnings, and I love to see guys who really take their past, what they've been through, and do all they can to make it just that, their past. So we're going to discuss, if you get a chance, I'm telling you, try to find that documentary. It's well worth watching. All right, spring football is among us. We're going to discuss the eight teams. There's only eight teams that make up the USFL spring league, so we're going to take a look at it and see exactly who these teams are. Okay. NFL draft. We're, believe it or not, you know, what, 2 months, a month and a half away from the NFL draft. So who do you want to see your team draft? You know, who do you want to see your team pick up? Do you want to see your team trade a draft away so that, you know, they can move up or move back, or, you know, what exactly do you want to see as far as the movement of your team in this draft? All right. Kale's Corner. where keeping it real is my only real. You understand me? Y'all know what I'm talking about. We're going to keep it real on this jump. We are going to absolutely keep it real on this jump. All right? All right, guys. So those are the topics. We're going to take a quick break, and we'll be right back. 563-999-3782. So what do I want to I'm going to hear a little bit more Rick.
Well, all right, you squares. Time to smoke. Fire up this funk and let's have a toke. It'll make you dance with some of everything. Everybody get high.
All right. Let me start, y'all, and I hate to start out with a complaint, but that NBA All-Star game, I mean, the losing team, y'all, scored over 100 points. The winners scored 200 points, and that was the East. Then they won the game, but I'm just like, I don't want to say I'm done with today's basketball, you know. It's 186 West, 211 for the East. I mean, wow. Wow. I mean, that right there, and I don't know a whole lot of people who watched it. I really didn't have anybody to call me. I thought bruh was going to call me Ted about it, but then when we talked, he really didn't watch it either. So, and I couldn't say nothing because I understood, you know, when you're a basketball purist or any sport. That's why I can't watch the NFL All-Star game. Right now, the only All-Star game that has some importance or reality to it, sad to say, their All-Star game and baseball, their All-Star game. These other sports, and I can somewhat understand why the NFL All-Star game is the way it is. You don't want to hurt anyone. And, you know, so it's best to play it safe. Football is such a brutal sport. It's best to play it safe. But basketball is brutal in its own rights as well. So I'm just like, It's not the actual sport. It's the All-Star games. I'm just over the All-Star games. I've had enough. And they're not trying to make anything better. So it's like, what? You know, we mentioned last week about the dunk contest and how we've seen just about every dunk. So there's nothing new that they can do. And I want you guys to, on that dunk contest, tell me who is your all-time favorite winner of the dunk contest. I'm going to say mine. It was a tie between Dominique and Vince Carter. For me, Dominique and Vince Carter, for me, it was, and It was Dominique until Vince did his thing. I just don't want to dismiss Dominique altogether, but it truly, my number one standout, I have to say, was Vince Carter. All right, let's go to the phone. Lou and Joy Z, what's happening, Lou?
Thanks, Kel. Yeah, I think Dominique Wilkins was the best of the slam dunk back in the day. I mean, nobody can dunk like him back then.
Mm.
Of course, it goes back almost 40 years, but you know, he gave slam dunk a whole new meaning.
Yeah, he did. Yeah, he did. And, I mean, not just during the All-Star competition, but during the regular season as well. Dominique had some dunks where you were just, like, jaw-dropped, you know. You almost couldn't believe that he was doing it, you know. So, But, again, once Vince Carter came out, with his thing and he hit the dunk and then start moving his hands around his neck like this is over. It's over. And that's all.
Yeah.
I remember that more than the actual dunk, to be honest. I remember his reaction to the dunk than the actual dunk. It was something special to see. It was something very special to see. Did you catch the All-Star?
I did. I think you're not a fan of offense.
It's not that I'm not a fan of offense. I'm a fan of offense that is worked for. Like Mike worked for his offense. Kobe worked for his offense. Dr. J, you know, I like when guys work for their offense. I don't like that Ole type of basketball. I never have liked that. And that has always been my thing, you know. Why are you guys playing this way? And I know it's an exhibition game and you're not playing with your teammates for real, but you guys have been playing basketball long enough to know how to coexist and play with one another, alongside one another. And that's just my point, you know. That's just my point. All right. That it, Lou? All right. Let's go to Brother Ted. What's up, bruh?
Hey, what's going on, Kills Corner? How you doing, huh? Hey, what's going on, Lou?
All right.
Well, you know, I'm going to say Mike, because, I mean, Dominique, although I believe Dominique did get cheated once, you know, it was tight, you know, but Dominique had a certain style, you know, it was definitely with power and stuff. But I think he had more better, like you say, game time dunks than he did, with, you know, than he could create, than he did in the slam dunk. You know, Mike was kind of flying mission. You know, Mike was flying. You know, but although I think they kind of gave it to Mike in '88 because he was in Chicago, you know, because he had already did the free throw line. You know, So I would say Dominique got cheated once, you know, and they gave Mike one. Vince did his thing at the time. Couldn't nobody beat him. But I also think that Aaron Gordon got robbed, man. Zach did some crazy stuff, though. But Aaron, man, that dude, the B-16, you know, the duck under how he did, with catching it from that little mascot that ain't no little, I mean that big mascot, and turn it in circles, you know, man. He got robbed. But yeah, Zach did some funky stuff because he jumped from the free throw line, but he also went through his legs, you know. So but now it's like you say, I'm with you, man. It's what is it now? You know, you get the miss and stuff, and then you just I don't know, man. They you can't. What other dunks can they do now? You know, so like that. I'm with you, man. So, but yeah. But also, well, as far as the All-Star, I think maybe they should go with the foreign players against the American players. Okay, that you know, because you have enough foreign players that's in the league. You know. And then you got the American players, and if you don't get picked, that's it. Dude. If you ain't making a good showing, you don't get picked the next time. You know what I mean? Have you? So
when,
that might be something. So
when you say American, are you saying it like all of the American players play all of the foreign-born players? So
correct.
It doesn't matter where the foreign born player is from.
Correct.
He's automatically okay. Yeah.
No,
he's not
automatically. I mean he's automatically qualified to make it, but they gotta vote also, however they wanna do it, you know, have one captain pick or have an international voting, you know, thing. Or a vote, you know, within the NBA. Because you like I say, you have enough foreign players like they do voting regular how they do now, but just vote all foreign and then vote all American born. You know, because you got Shea Gilgeous, he's from Canada. You know, you got the Wagner brothers. You know, you got all these players that's foreign. You know, Luka. You know what I'm saying? So
yeah,
maybe that might be some type of thing, a competition. You know, where it might spice things up and stuff and what have you. I don't know.
I don't know what is going to spice this thing up, man, but I definitely agree it needs to be spiced up some way, somehow. They need to figure out something, man. They need to figure out something and figure it out quick because and now you got people jumping on LeBron, you know, saying that the dunk competition being what it is because of him, you know. And I know sometimes it's easy as heck to pick on LeBron. It's easy to pick on him sometimes because of things like the dunk contest, where he said he would be in one before his career ends. And I don't know if he's trying to build love from the crowd to himself or what it is that he's trying to do. But it's like, bruh, your career is darn near over. And we don't want to see no out of his prime LeBron James going in a dunk contest because, honestly, truly, if you win, then you'll have people saying, oh, he won because he's LeBron. He didn't do anything spectacular to win it. So I'm of the mindset of, man, just forget it. Don't try to be in the dunk contest. Why would you? You know, just let it go. You didn't do it in your prime, so what's the point in doing it now? You know, I don't see any advantage to him doing it now at this stage of his career. Seriously, you know, bro, you're getting ready to have a son come in. You're great to have a son come into the league and play. We don't want. I'd rather see your son in a dunk contest than you. At this point, you know. What you guys think? Ted, you with me?
Yeah, I'm with you. Well, I agree.
Yeah.
That's all I'm gonna say. I agree.
Yeah. So, you know, I'm not going to say the NBA is falling off, because I still do like NBA. I'll still sit down and watch it. But they have to, you know, especially during this All-Star time, they have to bring something, man. They have to bring something to the table, because what they have now is not even hit. It's all missed. It's all missed to me. You know, and being a sports fan, like I said, I like competition. You know, it was a time when the All-Star game had competition. We could actually see competition within the game. There is no competition at all.
Well, back then, you ain't let nobody gonna be scoring on you like that. You know what I mean? At a point, you know what I mean, and stuff like that. So, and just like you say, I mean, with no OLA defense back then, you regular season you can mob a person, but All Star you're not gonna mob a person, but you ain't gonna just let them just up and score. Like, remember they was trying to, well, they had the rumor about them shutting out Jordan. You know,
right.
But actually that was on the offensive side. You know. But they also, you know, you had those things where they tried to freeze out Kobe. You know, they said, you know, stop this person and that person, you know. So you had that. It was, like you said, it was competitive. It was a challenge, you know. But now it's just Ole defense. You scoring 200 points, you know. You just it's just a farce, really, man. So, you know, that's, like I said earlier, that's the only thing I can, you know, one of the things I can think of, you know, where it might be some pride, you know, within it. Because,
right.
You know, you talk about, you know, people say that, you know, you put incentives in it like they did the end season tournament with $500,000 for each player, you know, but you figuring that was cool for the players that ain't making that much, you know, but you got, in the All-Star game, you got players that's making, you know, pretty much max dollars, you know, so come on, man.
Yeah.
I mean, you're already making enough, man. You know, so, but why we got to keep paying them to do their job, you know?
Well, let's look at this factor real quick. In the first quarter, the West scored 47, the East 53. In the second quarter, the West scored 42, the East 51. So we're talking about halftime, and the East is already over 100 points. They came back third quarter. The West scored 47. The East scored 56. In the fourth quarter, the West scored 50. The East scored 51. For a grand total of 186 for the West, 211 for the East. That I am so glad, y'all, that I did not watch this. I'm glad I didn't watch this because I would be pissed today after sitting there and watching this. I've never seen a team, an NBA team, score 50 for the quarter. For the whole quarter, y'all. 53.56 in the third. Every quarter, first, second, third, and fourth, the East scored over 50. That's crazy to me. That is absolutely crazy to me. And I really couldn't bring myself to the point of sitting down and trying to watch this. It's crazy. Go ahead. Who was that? Lou or Ted?
I thought it was, okay, maybe a little bit competitive, but, you know, at least there was, you know, not a lot of, you know, low scoring. And, you know, I like, you know, a bit more offense. You know, it shows that they had more in the game they were doing previously, because defense, you know, it can get kind of get kind of dragged in, like nothing's happening. Now, that's not a game that you want to see. I don't want to see like a low scoring 30 to 28, whatnot, and a half, whatnot. You know, at least it provides some more action.
Well, I'm going to say this. I remember when the Pistons, for a whole season,
never good,
kept people in the 70s, some games 60s, some even 50s. I enjoyed that. I enjoyed that. I enjoyed the defensive effort that the Pistons were playing with. This thing here, and don't get me wrong, I like offense. I do like offense. I'm not saying that I don't like offense, but as I said earlier, I like offense that is worked for. Now, if the old Pistons were out there and a team got to 110, 111 on them, I would enjoy that because I know the defensive prowess that that played with. But with this thing today, with what we're seeing today out there, it's like nobody wants to. Nobody has a desire to really get out there, get into it, you know? It's like these guys say, the hell with defense. We're not playing defense. For what? You know? And to me, that hurts the game. That hurts the game completely. I mean, come on, man. 186. And you lost? And you lost? That's crazy to me. That's crazy to me. And I don't think I'll ever get into basketball play in this manner.
Yeah.
So I said it before, I'm going to say it again. I don't think I will watch the All-Star game till they change something or do something to pique my interest. Seriously. If you don't want these superstar players to get hurt, you know, why not let the All-Star game be about those G League players? Give them some attention, you know, the guys that you're saying are going to make it to the NBA one day or advance. Give them the attention. Let them come out there and entertain us, because I really believe it'll be more of an entertaining game if they allow it to allow those guys to play. You know, like Ted said, the pros, they're already making a hell of a lot of money. So you can't really pique their interest like you can for these G League players, these guys who are constantly living on the bubble and you know, trying to find a way to make a name for themselves.
Mm-hmm.
The young Caucasian guy, I forgot his name, that he signed with Miami just so he could be a part of this All-Star game. And I'm like, why did y'all do that? You know, why is he allowed to keep coming in and, you know, sign up just for the All-Star game, and then they just, you know, let the boy go back down to the G League? That's crazy to me. if he's good enough to play in the All-Star game, then he's good enough to play in the league.
What guy are you talking
about? I
mean,
am I wrong?
What guy are you talking about?
The guy that they signed last year before the All-Star, he was in the dunk contest.
Well, he ain't playing. He didn't play in the All-Star game. The white boy who won it.
Yeah, but still, why not allow him to play in the league?
And maybe he's not good enough to play in the league. He got his fame and fortune by you. Can I finish? He got his fame and fortune by on YouTube and stuff. You know, by the way, he can jump and dunk. So, I mean, like I said, he didn't play in the All-Star game because he's not an NBA player. But as far as I caught in what you were saying as far as the G League players, you know, I guess you were saying getting that spotlight on the NBA weekend. You know, they already do have an All-Star G League, but that'd be cool for them to get the spotlight that weekend. You know, that's cool.
Yeah.
But like I said, he didn't play in the game. He dunked. I mean, you got plenty of players that get 10 two-way contract, you know, 10-day contract, you know, what have you. So, and he won last year. He won. He was, I believe, the defending champ, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, he won last year, and he won again this year. But my only point is, again, is he the only G League player that can dunk? And if you're going to give him the opportunity year in and year out, why aren't you giving other players the same opportunity? You know? I don't know. It's just
they don't feel as exciting as him as far as he's been that small. You know, so I don't know what their reasoning, but it is what it is.
To me, you're bringing it's almost a slap to the face. And I know choice, you know what I mean? And a lot of these guys are choosing not to be a part of the dunk competition. I'm with that. I get that. But at the same time, you know, I don't know. I hate to lean on LeBron. I really hate to lean on him, but I truly feel as though him not participating and keeping the luster of the dunk contest going, it hurt the sport. It really truly did, you know. And again, like I said earlier, we just about seen every dunk that could be attempted. We just about seen them all. But still, you know, you can judge a dunk by the energy of the player. You can judge a dunk by the excitement of the dunk itself. You know, I'm cool with two players performing the same dunk. I think one can pull it off a little better than the other, you know? So I would have no problem with that. To me, it's better than what they're doing with it now. It's way better than what they're doing with it now, because now it's like, it's garbage, man. That's the only word that I could come up with. It's garbage.
What do you mean doing the same dunk? You mean doing the same dunk that other players have done in the past?
No, I'm talking about in competition.
Doing the same dunk that your competitor just done. I don't know about that, but I think they be paying, you know, they like it when you go back. As far as the fact that somebody might can do it better, true, you know, but what if you don't? So I want to be more creative. It's like you're not showing no creativity, especially if you're going second. They're going to show what, you know, what creativity you showing, you know, but I think as far as them going, like, you know, doing some of Nick's dunk, doing, you know, all old school dunks, you know, that people ain't seen, like even Scott Walker did some nice dunks. You know, I haven't seen nobody do some of his dunks he did and stuff. I haven't seen nobody do really do the Terrence. What was that boy name that was in it from Indiana when he did the Statue of Liberty, turned around, did a 360 like, you know, and stuff. So East Bay dunk. Funk dunk with AJ Ryder, you know, stuff of that nature. But yeah, I mean, like I say, it's what how much more creative can you do? And like I say, they doing it, and this sometimes the formats be killing me how they, you know, do it, you know, and you get to miss so many, and you get to miss, and you still get, like I say, I don't know, man. But as far as LeBron, I mean, you already stated it early. He's already past his time, man. You know, the dunk went on, and it's what it was. You know, we got competitive what we got, you know, so he didn't do it. So I don't want to see you now, you know, so you might hurt something, you know. So you should give your son a chance, because maybe he might get dunked better than he playing right now.
Man. All right, let's take another call. Brother Nas.
Hey, what's going on, man? How y'all?
What's going on?
What's happening, Nas?
What up? What up? Ain't nothing, man. Sitting out here smoking a clove cigarette. I went throwback today, so we're going to see how this goes. try to put them Marlboro down like 57. I got a clove. We're going to see how this goes.
Well, I'm sitting here pulling on a cigar, so hey, enjoy yourself.
Yeah, we're gonna see, man. If I keep buying them, this gonna be the test for the day. But hey, man, it's like like we said last year, I think when we talked about this, man, it's win-win no matter what for the NBA. If the dunk contest is bad, we get on social media, talk about them, laugh at people. And we engage, give them content. If it's good, then we share and talk about the dunks and engage in content. So it's win-win, man. Some years it's going to be bad. We just kind of got to accept that. You only going to get lucky where you get Aaron Gordon and Zach going at it. That's just only going to happen every couple of years, man. But it ain't going to be consistent like that. But it's like you said, most of the dunks have been done. Most of the dunks have been done, and we're just not easily impressed no more because we didn't see so much. Like, he just brought up the Stansberry and Kenny Skywalker. Go play them winning those dunk contests on video right now. You're going to be like, oh, okay. Like, it's not going to be as good as it was to you when it happened, because when it happened, it was innovative. But now you've seen that stuff a thousand times. Dudes is East Baying behind and then going behind the back. Hell, Zach LaVine East Baying from the free throw line. Right. So, you know, that stuff ain't – it just ain't going to hit you like that.
I don't know, because Vince Carter, man, he rocked the house, bro. He rocked the house. And it wasn't just the dunk that he did. It was how he did them, you know, right down to putting his whole forearm through the ring. I mean, through the rim, you know. I think that these guys, because like Ted said, we got it where some guys shooting five or trying to dunk five or six times and missing it. Who wants to see that? It should be a limit on attempt. It should be a limit on your attempt, and it should also be judged more on style than.
But
Carol,
we done done all this. We done done dunk limits. We done done time limits. We done done spin the wheel and see what happens. We done done all of this. There's no consistent way to make this good. Only way it's good is if, just like you just said, if a Vince Carter shows up 1 year or Zach LaVine shows up 1 year. So the NBA basically, he just got to get lucky. It depends on who get in it.
Well, now, let me say, you know what? I would like to see Anthony Edwards in it, Ja Morant in it.
And then also
maybe they should raise the rim up higher.
I hear you, but this is the other thing we talked about last time. The dunk contest is looked at as a little homie event. Do Ja and Ant-Man want to be in it, or do they want to be on the sideline with their phone taking recordings with a drink in their hand, setting up for the party later on that night?
Well, I know Ja was hurt. I don't know why Ant didn't get in it. Maybe, yeah, you're right. I don't know, you know. Why did Ant get in it this year? Was he saving himself for the All-Star game or whatever? But, yeah, you're right.
Yeah, they want to be on the sideline on TV making jokes with Chuck and Kenny and them and the camera going to them to show their shocked face when it's something they like. So I just don't know if you can fix that thing, man. I just think we just don't get lucky sometimes.
Well, like Kel said, well, let's get this all the G League players. Let's just get more G League players. Forget the NBA players. Mm-hmm. You know, whoever might NBA might want to be in it, but then let's get more G League players that's hungry.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah,
I'm just throwing out things, man. I'm not, you know, not saying my you know, answers or solutions or whatever, or what I come up with is the answer, but I'm just, you know. Round table, you know what I mean?
Sometimes old cutlass, you just don't got to fix it, man. You just got to say, hey, man, this cutlass just ain't going to run like that. And you just don't need to fix it, man. You just got to keep it to the side.
Hey,
promising yourself
money.
One day you're going to fix it.
Either way, they're going to make money, like you said, and that's the bottom line.
Yeah. But they have been. They have been. No matter how much complaining we do or saying that we don't like it, they still been making money. So
that's what you say, Nas. You know?
Oh, hey, cause, you know? Let's not act like when it's bad, that ain't fun, because we be on there roasting folks. Boy, the jokes that folks was letting off on Jaylen Brown, man, they had me crying laughing. They was giving it to Jaylen Brown that night, man.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Yeah, they were. And you know, that's another thing that's amazing to me, how during the game, these guys on a whim or on a quick thought can be dunked like it's nothing. Now you're in a contest. Is it really that much mental stress on these guys?
Hey, but Kel, check. Hey, did, as far as saying the dunk, this is not one of the dunk contest, but this was in a game. Did you see the Obi Toppin? He go take it between his legs and try to dunk and missed in the game.
Mm-hmm.
He'd have been on my bench. He'd have been on my bench quick. And that's why I guess New York done traded him, because he's goofy, man.
Go ahead,
when
man.
You decide to do that, you got to make it, man. You can't be missing that in a game. You know? Like coach, I know that coach was heated. But think about, y'all remember Chris Birdman Anderson played with the Heat?
Yeah, you remember
that dunk contest he was in? He missed all of them. It was sad, man.
What about Nate? He got 20 tries, huh?
Yeah, man. They should have gone ahead and let Dwight win. Nate.
Yeah, they were searching for another. They were searching for another Spud Webb with that Nate Robinson move, man.
That's all that was.
Yeah.
You know, that was the ulterior motive. You know, one of the shortest men in the NBA won winning the dunk contest. So,
well, that was the same
thing
twice.
Huh?
He won it twice.
Yeah.
Yep.
Hey, look,
All-star game already, Kel? Oh, my bad.
We're talking all of it. We're talking all of it. We just, when you called in, we were on the slam dunk. But we discussed the score and how we've never seen 200 points put up for any game. And the losing team, the losing team scored 186, man.
Yeah, it was
crazy.
That was the ruckus. But the best thing I heard on this week is your boy Howard Bryant. I think he's still over at ESPN. But he was like, you got to remember, back in the day, this goes to basketball and baseball, the All-Star games was your one time to see certain stars because, you know, teams barely got primetime games and they wasn't doing
right.
those matchups because you wasn't flying across the country all the time. So you didn't get to see, you know, certain matchups and certain players. So that was why it was so, you know, amazing way back in the day to you because it was, you know, a rare thing. But now that you see these matchups, baseball, you got interleague play and all that, these All-Star games, it ain't got the same, you know, hump to it, so it don't hit. And then when we really reminisce, think about how many All-Star games were actually good. I can think of the Magic Johnson game when he had retired. I can think of the Mike versus Kobe game where Jermaine O'Neal blocked that shot and all of that. I can think of the Iverson and Stephon Marbury bringing the East back. But besides that, the rest of my life, it just been running down blowout, just like we saw. So I don't know, man.
Yeah, but we've never seen 200 points, man. 211, to be exact. You know, we've never seen that, man. And I'm telling you, Nas, when I heard the score, I was happy that I didn't watch. You know? Because that would have gotten me sick to my stomach, man. That would have made me sick to my stomach, man.
Yeah, it looked like the McDonald's game looked most of the time. Just running up and down, throwing lobs, shooting threes, and, you know, clowning or whatever. But not with nobody playing serious ball.
Yeah, not at all. Not at all. You know, the powers that be will come on and make the necessary changes, whatever they have to be. You know. But I know we can't watch another game like this.
Well maybe they should send a survey out. Just send a survey out and say, how can we improve it? How can we change it? Or what things would you like to see or whatever, you know, and get a census. So, you know.
So, hey, that might work.
Like we all agree. I'm sorry. Like we all agree, something need to be done, you know. So
that might work. I ain't against that at all. That might work. You know, send it out and ask, you know, what would you like to see? Well, how do you think we can make the All-Star game better? The game, the skills contest and competition and all that. You know,
see, Kel, this how y'all get in trouble. This how that shade tree mechanic get you on that Cutlass. He said, no, see, all you got to do is work on that carburetor. And you give him a little money, he works on that carburetor. And then he come back the next week. Oh, well, see, you know, it was the transmission, dog. It was the transmission. And now he want to get in there and get on that truck. And before you know it, you look up at the end of the summer, you just spend a little chunk of change with that man. That thing still ain't running.
Yeah, I can agree with that. But, I mean, anything you love is worth that little bit of attention, right? You know, that Cutlass might be, you know, the first car you and wifey went on a date or made out in or whatever, you know? You don't want to just get rid of that. You don't just want to throw it away. You want to try to do something to get some good performance out of it again.
You want to restore it, huh?
There you go.
I don't know.
Restore that.
But like I said, we something got to be done, so we all agree. And if they can't seem to, every solution they done came with so far is not, it doesn't seem to the catch us anymore. You know, like you called off, Nas, that the game that was memorable for you, you know, and likewise for me, you know, and maybe a couple of more other games, you know, but it's something need to be done, man. Or do they take it out, period? Or, you know, like I said, I didn't give my couple of solutions, and you know, and
I like that G League introduction. I like that, you know, because there's a couple of pro players that have been demoted down to the G League as well. So I like that. I would like to see, you know, where they are, what they're doing, how their game is evolving or developing at this point. And I believe that would be a great opportunity for the NBA to show that. These guys get no TV time at all. So let me see them doing their thing in the G League. Let's give them a chance. Let's give them a chance at that All-Star to show off their good. You know, I don't know.
Well, did anyone see the freshman and the sophomore game? How was that? Because I didn't even watch that.
Hey, I've watched none of it. I didn't watch anything, man, for the NBA All-Star. And I wanted to catch the three-point competition because this is the first time they pitted male versus female. But even that,
it was two different three-point contests. It was the regular one, the Dame one, then it was a special one with Sabrina Nescu and Stephen Curry. Steph Curry, yeah.
I don't know. I guess I'm just being an old fuddy-duddy, right? Because to me, it's a slap in the face to every other three-point shooter in the league to pit Curry versus her. You know, you could have find a dude. Y'all telling me no male in the league shoots enough three where he would have at least been competition for Curry?
They doing a little cross promotion. You're trying to promote the WNBA. I'm sure next time they'll probably do Steph Curry versus Caitlin Clark when she gets to the WNBA. So, you know, they're just trying to promote the other league. I get it.
Right.
Well, you know what?
It wasn't no drama.
You want to promote the other league, put some commercials on when they're actually playing, when it's actually their season. You know, I can't tell you how many times I wouldn't have known that the Mystics playing if I wasn't scrolling my TV guide. And I'll say, Mystics playing.
Let's put more games on, you know?
Hold on now, because these departments got budgets now. So the WNBA budget for commercials and the NBA budget for commercials, I'm sure they like, hey, bro, we can't do y'all that kind of favor, man. We need to sell this to Samsung. They're paying a little more. So That's probably why it's so hard to do that, man, because them budgets are so different.
Yeah, but they got tons of commercials for what they want to put on. So
mostly the NBA owners who own the teams owns the WNBA teams, right?
Right.
Yeah,
right.
But you're still talking about the rate that you charge per commercial. So if your rate is to Sprite or Samsung and they paying X amount, man, you ain't turning that down to run your WNBA stuff. You know what I mean?
Yeah, right. I guess.
Yeah.
Well, But they should show more games, though. But, yeah, go ahead, Kel. I'm sorry. You know.
No, I'm just going to say I don't think that it would be that hard for them to decide at which commercials they want to go through or which ones is okay, we can scratch that and put a commercial in that slot for the ladies. You know?
For the greater good, I think they should. Like, I agree with you. I think they should do it. It's just, man, you know how greedy these folks are.
I mean, you can take two, maybe even three of the commercials away from the cap, because the caps here sell out all the time. They constantly have notoriety. Wizards. You can take two commercials from the Wizards and give it to the Mystics. That's five more commercials right there that can be in constant rotation.
Well, I still think they do advertise them, and I think they get it in when they do have WNBA games. You know, they're flashing on maybe why a game is playing, that, you know, they'll put it on the medium screen or whatever. But, you know, like I say, I think the exposure, you need to have more games on TV. You know, that's the only way they're going to get exposure. You know, I mean, they advertise what little games that come on, you know, on Sundays when they do have a season. And you know, it'd be maybe two teams, you know, a four game block, you know, well, two teams, you got four teams playing, you know, so, you know, some of that nature. Then, like you said, we, in this region, we only get the Wizards in a sense, I mean, the Mystics in a sense, you know, and what have you, but, so they need to just have more games on when they play, you know, and only the way you might get some of, if you got the package, you know, and what have you and stuff.
Right.
And the same with a lot of these college good women games, though. But, you know, the more you need exposure for anything if you're trying to, you know, to be noticed.
The WNBA offers a package as well? I've never seen that.
Say what?
As far as I know. They do have a package?
Yes, they do the same type of thing. They try to do the bundles.
Oh, okay. Wow. See, that's enough. I had no idea about that. No
well,
idea.
See, you're not
at
really
all
into women's basketball like that, you know, and I am. So, you know, that's why
I'm not into bull riding. But I see their package advertised all the time.
Well,
you know,
that's a man's
I'm
sport,
not,
though, to you, though.
Yeah. My God. All right. Yeah, let's just hope that this year, man, they give those ladies their props, man, and
right,
advertise
right.
them so they can be shown as they should be, because and I got this from you, Ted. You want to see real basketball? Watch them women, man. Watch those women. I mean, the way they play and operate with one another, it's amazing. It is absolutely amazing. You know?
Listen, them girls be falling and banging, man, and the refs don't call a lot of calls, and they just get right up. They don't be crying, man. And but it's a women's game on tonight as far as South Carolina and Alabama play tonight. There's some games on right now. I think we're playing right now. But, yeah, some women's college playing now and stuff. But so that's what I'm waiting to see tonight and stuff. That's South Carolina and Alabama come on at 7.
Okay.
So see if Don can still stay undefeated. You know, but then you get NBA play tonight too, Phoenix and Dallas. Oh, baby. It's going to be a good one.
Your Mavericks on, Nas. Your Mavs is on. I'm going to tell you, man, and that was great transition, Ted, because that was another NBA topic that I want to address. And that is, who are the NBA teams to you looking strongest headed into the second half of this NBA season? Now, this team has been so up and down that I'm almost leery about saying them, but it's Milwaukee to me. Milwaukee look like, yeah, there are nights where you're wondering what the hell is going on with them, but then there are nights where you're like, who's going to beat them? You know? And I know everybody say, you know, Joker is Superman and this and the third and no big man can really handle him well. I got Giannis being kryptonite, man. If he stays healthy, and that is the most important part of this whole equation. If Giannis can stay healthy, I think Milwaukee is going to be a hard team to deal with come the postseason. What say you, Ted?
Well, not the Giannis. Middleton need to get it together. You know, he need to get healthy. You know, Giannis need to, learn how to also play a little bit more inside so he won't get in foul trouble trying to bulldoze his way down the lane. Because as we know, it becomes a half-court game in a sense. So, you know, since Lopez ain't really got a low post game, and Giannis, you need to put your back some to it where you ain't, like I said, you ain't got to dribble up. You know, and then let Lopez trail and shoot that three where you got Dame bringing it up or Pat bringing it up, you know, and you got Middleton. He need to, like I say, get healthy. You got Pat bringing that defense. Dame need to tighten up on his D. But I think, Doc, I agree with you. Milwaukee's going to be dangerous because and they need to play Bobby Portis more. So and you got Crowder back, you know. So once they tighten them up, man, they get their rotation together and what have you, I think they'd be decent, you know.
All right. So is Milwaukee that team for you as well?
Yeah, as far as one of the teams in the East, you know.
Who else you got? Who else you going with?
In the East? I want to say Indiana did something, you know, but I got to see them, you know, a little bit more, you know. Pascal ain't really found his niche with them, I don't think, you know. And Halliburton, you know, although they do say he passed and this and that, he does shoot a lot like he was trying to shoot in that All-Star game too. Well, you know, you got Pascal, you got to feed him, man. He need to average about 20 to 25 points for you guys. For Indiana and stuff, you know, and turning them need to tighten up and stuff. But Indiana, New York, something about New York, man. You know what I mean? Randall, you know, is he gonna stay healthy?
Yeah.
You know, Robinson supposed to come back, but you know, are they gonna stay healthy? You know, so So, but that's as far as the East. Well, Boston, like I tell you, I don't like their coach, man. I do not like Boston's coach. I don't think he's the one to take them over that hump. And then, you know, they got to stay healthy as well. Yeah, as any team, you know, but really, you know, Boston got to also have a history of Brown getting hurt. You know, you see Drew Holiday already out. You know, Porzingis got a history.
Right. All right, Nas, run it down, Nas. Who looks strongest to you right now?
I'm pretty much roll same stuff y'all are. I ain't really got too much different, man. Looks like the favorites are the favorites. We kind of got to see how the injury stuff play out. I just tried to get this slip in. They done pulled Durant and Booker off, so that means Bradley Beal ain't playing tonight. I tried to get that bet in beforehand. Damn, they just got me. Anyway,
That to me, not to cut you off, Nas, but that to me is really looking like one of the best moves that the Wizards have made in a long time. The fact that they got Bradley Beal out of there, I'm serious, man. It's looking like a good call by the Wizards, Brad, you know. And they did right by Brad. They gave Brad good money, you know, before he left. So, you know, but it's just amazing to me how almost every time somebody brings up Phoenix, it's Brad not playing, back, shoulder, hip. It's just like a litany of things going on with Brad that just, you know, he can't get over.
Mm-hmm.
He cannot get over. So kudos to the Wizards. I talk about it when y'all do something stupid. Well, I got to say, this wasn't something stupid. It wasn't. Y'all got rid of him really, truly too late, as some would say, but in my book, early enough, you know, before he start, you know, really, truly break, because he had an injury or two with us as well. But it just seemed, and that's crazy to me because I remember when Shaq went out to Phoenix, and it was like a rebirth to his career. You know, most guys go to Phoenix and they can stay healthy all of a sudden. Bradley Beal going and he cannot stay healthy. You know, that's crazy to me. Real crazy.
Yep.
To me. But I think Phoenix was counting their eggs, as the old folks say, before they hatch. And you got some dead eggs in your basket, Holmes. You got some dead eggs in your basket. You guys think they're going to bring Bill back next year?
Yeah, because I don't think you'd be able to move him at that salary with that injury history. You kind of got to roll with that three that you got. They did a good job, though, at the trade deadline, getting some more guys who they can play. So they got a little deeper. But overall, if you ain't got the three healthy, it ain't going to matter what happened. Because, you ain't winning if all three of them ain't healthy. So if Bill can't get it together, you know, good luck.
Another question. What about Durant? You know, we know Durant has no problem jumping and moving ship, getting up out of somewhere. So do you think Durant will stay?
Yeah, I think he will because I don't think there's another landing spot that's going to give you a player as good as Booker to run with for the end of your career, let alone the third guy to be as good as Bill. So I think he does kind of stick it out with them.
But you know what I say, Nas. Your best ability is availability. And we just got finished talking about Bill not being able to play.
You know what, Kel? You know what? Let me put on my coach's hat, you know, for Phoenix. I'll break Bill off that bench, okay? And GM hat, I wouldn't want to try to get Kyle Lowry. They need a point guard because Booker can play point, but you are also taking away from his scoring too. Bill can play point, but you take away from his scoring. But Bill, like you say, you can't depend on him to stay healthy. But he got to suck up his pride and come off that bench. And then let Bill be that two guard and KD be that three. You got Nurkic, then you got Ananobi or either play somebody else big. And then you got I think you should have got Kyle Lowry as your playmaker.
Okay.
I don't know, man. Kyle has enjoyed a lot of sandwiches over the last few years.
Okay. I haven't seen him. You're right. I'm sorry.
And don't expect him to play a lot unless somebody gets hurt, man. Kyle is
Okay, don't waste it on him because I hadn't seen him. I'm just looking at what he used to bring. You know what I'm saying? So like you say, he might have been sitting over there eating them Cuban sandwiches in Miami. But for sure, I got a point guard somehow. You know,
they got rid of their point guard. They definitely should have, though. I'm with you on that. They definitely should have. But getting like Royce O'Neal and guys like that who can play a couple of positions and just eat up minutes for you, you know, that was the thing they had to do. But, yeah, like Kel said, the injuries to Bill. But it ain't been like drastic injuries to where you got to shut him down for the season. It's just nagging stuff, hamstring, calf, you know, this, that. So if you can kind of get him in, round him in shape before the playoffs hit, you got a puncher's chance.
I'm with you if it wasn't a back injury in that list as well. We all know that back will shut you down completely, you know.
It can happen at any time. That's the worst part about the back injury. You go good for a week, and the next thing you know, boom, here it comes.
Oh, yeah. He might be kind of like, dude, that's why I say bring him off the bench. But what was I finna say? God dog it. That's why I be interrupting. I really don't mean to, but I have to say when I get it because I be forgetting. Oh, boy. Jesus. Go ahead, old man.
Well, add Nurk to that list, too, because Nurk normally get hurt around this time, too. So they need him to stay healthy on top of.
There you go. Hey, well, this one, thank you, Nas. The whole team, because, like you say, Bill hurt now. Okay, now I was talking this earlier to Brian and Frank, but I don't wish this on them. But you gotta look out for Bradley Beal might get hurt. You gotta look out for Durant might stretch something, hurt something, you know, with his legs and ankles and stuff. So they are prone for accident to happen. Don't wish that on them, but I wish them health and success, but it is what it is with them, man.
Yeah, I mean, facts are the facts. You know, the facts are the facts. And it just so happened that now they're looking like NBA fragile to everyone, you know. Because every time you turn around, I mean, think about it. How many games have they had? They didn't even start the season with everybody. Bill was out in the beginning, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, it's like, I don't know. In my book, not just a point guard kid, they should have went and got a big man. A real legitimate big man as well. I don't know why everybody is staying away from Dwight Howard. He can still play and bring something good to your team. And it's like, why is it something that we don't know? when it comes to Dwight Howard or what. But
oh, I think it's something we know, Kev. I think it's something we know, Kev. But let me.
Well, when did I say you seen him play, Kenny? Don't he have a back problem too?
Nah, he's playing over in China. Yeah.
Oh, he is?
Yeah. Philippines, China. Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, but I think it's a lot of other stuff. Yeah, I think it's a lot of other stuff that make people a little uncomfortable. But to the Phoenix point though, but let me give you this though. Minnesota and Oklahoma City are 1-2 and look like, you know, the best in the West. But these are really young teams who have never advanced far and never felt that playoff pressure. If you're Minnesota and OKC and Phoenix is in the play-in or something like that, and you end up matched up with them in the first or second round, that don't sound fun. You know what I'm saying?
Nah.
If some of your players get tight and KD is on the other side of that court with Book, whatever you get from Bill is whatever you get from Bill. But, man, that looks like a classic NBA upset where the young team ain't ready yet.
Yeah,
Book got dog in him. Book sure do. If KD ain't got the dog in him, KD kill you by a silent sniper. You know what I mean? You do that, but Bill will bark at you. But KD might chirp a little bit or something if you chirp at him. But Book a bite. You know, he'll bite at you. Definitely put you know, his head to your head and stuff like that. You know, so but. They, like I said, they do need a big, but Dallas, man, Dallas made some good moves, too. I'm telling you, I like Gafford with them, and I like that other move they made with P.J. Washington.
We did real good during trade deadline.
I always liked P.J., man. I always liked him. I like his energy and his intensity, man. You know, he plays like every play could be his last. He really puts all into, you know, what he's doing out there on the court. I've always liked him, man.
He's the perfect stretch big guy.
I'm
sorry, Kel.
Yeah.
Mavs is his joint, huh?
You say what?
The Mavs is your joint, huh? The Mavs.
Oh, yeah.
I switched up, man. I'm with the Mavs. But with that said, though, now that the Mavs got the front court that they need, if Kyrie is healthy, if Luka is healthy, if they don't win, all of a sudden that pressure turns on Luka. And we start talking about Luka the way we talk about other superstars. Well, we say, hey, man, you made it to one Western final. Besides that, what have you actually done besides accumulate a whole lot of stats by yourself?
Right. Hey, real quick, Kel, let me touch on this for now. Like, we talked about the dunk contest and all this and how, you know, we had some fans, this and that. You know what peed me off, Kel and Nas, when Mikey went up against Kobe and he gonna do a cartwheel. Kel, you know I was mad, man. You know I was soft. You know I told him about it. You know what I mean? So I was like, man, what are you doing this cartwheel stuff? But reason I say that to say, man, I raised Philly, man. That's my little piece. His mother and my mother is best friend. They like sisters.
That's what's up. Well, I guess he knew he was going against Kobe. And if you look at it, really, the win was in Kobe's favor before they even dunked.
Well, in a sense, but he should have kept doing his dunks like Mike. He could have kept doing those floating and stuff instead of doing some cartwheel, man. He didn't, like you said, he couldn't even.
I remember that cartwheel.
Yeah. So that's what I meant about that dunk contest earlier. Like, we gotta relax, man. We've seen work. We've seen Cedric Ceballos put a fake blindfold on his eyes and act like he couldn't see and go dunk. Like, we've seen some terrible things over the years, man.
Yeah.
What about
yeah.
D. Brown?
I think D. Brown was good, actually. I rocked with D. performance in that because, to me, the no-look dunk and everything else he did, it was good. Hell, he beat Sean Kemp, to me, who was probably the best dunker in the league at the time. He still beat him.
At the time, yeah, at the time. All right, y'all, we're going to take a quick pause for the calls. We'll be right back, 563-999-3722. Great, great, great basketball talk, y'all. We'll be right back.
All the ladies of the ages, here we go, here we go, here we go. Thank you so very, very much, ladies and gentlemen. Now look here. But it don't mean a thing if it don't got the go-go swing. It goes doo-wop, 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 doo-wop. We're going to do this one over, y'all. By special request, y'all. You got that go-go swing. We're going to do it for Sean and Vinny of Howard University. If any, Vinny and Sean known to body to dog.
All right,
thank you. I want to see the people, not
signs. Oh, I'm sorry, y'all. Chuck, I don't know. And you know what? I will never, ever say Chuck again during the show because, hey, Chuck, man, that's my man, y'all. That's my man. All right, NFL.
Well, Kip, can I ask you something before you move on? What's my man's name? You remember the show The Wire, right?
Yeah. Right.
The dude
Come
on there, that Slim Charles, he's the front man of a go-go. Okay.
Yeah, he's the front man for Northeast Groovers. Big G. Okay.
Backyard.
Backyard. That's right.
I'm gonna look that up.
32 is the man for Northeast. Genghis is the man for Backyard. Thank you, Marcus. Welcome to the show. Coming in the dome. Setting the record straight.
Yeah,
I told y'all, keeping it real
yeah,
is already real.
How y'all doing?
NFL draft pick. Pitt, it looks like your boys came to their senses and they not going to trade that pick or field. How you feel about that?
My boys, who's my boys?
Come on, man. Chicago,
the team,
man.
Listen, the team is the Bears. Is the I like the team, but I don't like who's running it, man. You know what I mean? But, yeah, they're going to give up Justin. They taking that number one.
But Scrim already said he don't want to play with y'all.
Yeah, I know. But like I said the other day, he got to play. He ain't got no choice. If they draft him, he can't.
Hey,
you know what he going to do? Sit out? He can't do a Peyton Manning, right? He can't do an Eli.
He
can't do a Manning, brother.
He said he never said that. He wrote a statement
oh, yeah.
and said he never said that. Yeah.
Oh, okay.
That
okay, that's what's up. Okay, that's what's up. You know what I say? Where is smoke, there is fire. You know, where
like
is smoke.
With us, we got a lot of decisions to make with Justin. You know, if we keep him, you know, he's going to go into his fifth year. We got to pay him that money, you know. He's going to be coming up for the payday. And then when we can get a generational quarterback, like we missed out 2 years before on Patrick Mahomes for sure, and then on Watson and stuff. And so, you know, we can't take that chance no more. So, you know, even though, you know, everybody will say, well, he improved. But look at the record total. And then he only improved like the end of the season, towards the end of the season, you know, pretty much. And well, he maybe won one game or still looking okay, but I'm kind of, like I said, I'm done with him. You know, I want to go on and see what a different quarterback look. But then also, if they do keep him, I told you I like to go and get Marvin Webster, Marvin Harrison Jr. You know, I like to get him. So, but then again, you know, also, Kel, then again, with these, remember what we talked about with these rookie wide receivers, how they talk to only get 1 foot in. You know,
yeah.
And, you know, the pro level is totally different. You got to be trained to get both foots in. So how is his transition? I know his daddy been working with him, I'm sure. You know,
yeah,
but he
yeah.
should have been, you know. So, you know, I'm thinking he should be close to pro ready as any receiver that I've seen, you know, in college. Might be a couple that I haven't really seen, but, you know, he's the talk. You know, because he got him projected to go number 4 to the Cardinals, you know, so.
Yeah.
Well,
he's too good for y'all to get him and a quarterback. So, I mean, y'all, the price of Caleb Williams is too high. So, I don't think y'all can trade it, honestly. If you look at what it cost to get Bryce Young last year, just the idea of that means the price of Caleb is going to be so high, I don't think somebody might offer it. But I think the Bears are just going to move on. They're going to take whatever from Pittsburgh or Atlanta, and they're going to draft Caleb and go and build it out.
I agree.
You know, Ted, what you were saying about the 2 feet, about the 2 feet in, they actually are training them in college to get 2 feet in, you know, even though they wind up not having to, you know what I'm saying? So it's not really a major adjustment, you know.
Got you.
It just becomes a
you get what all you need.
Point.
You get what
all
you need. Yeah. To the NFL. Yeah. Right. Yeah. I kind of like you say figured that. Like you say, but they get what they need. But yeah.
Well,
yeah.
We look at the receiver class for this year,
mm-hmm.
and
yeah.
who can we say is better than Marvin Harrison? You know, who has been more dependable, more available guy than Marvin Harrison? I can't find.
I don't think you could see better, but Malik Nabers is close, and he's so close that I don't think it matters. If you get a top 8 pick, if you get one of them, if you get Marvin or Malik Nabers from LSU, I think you walk away happy.
Right.
Cause like
right,
you said,
right.
wide receiver, one of the best positions to transition. Like typically you can get a wide receiver to come in and catch you about 50 balls for about 600-700 yards as a rookie. And you know,
right.
you don't get that production out of other rookies, man. So I snatch either one of them if they fall to him.
Now, we started it out with – I wanted to actually start it out with offensive linemen because I think the quarterback that Washington wants, I think we can get him in the second round. This boy, Joe Alt from Notre Dame, I want to grab him up. Quickly. I want to grab him up quickly because I know teams are going to come after him. I know teams are going to come after him because he is, we speak on pro ready. He is a pro ready offensive tackle. I mean, the boy got a mean streak out of this world. He's athletic as heck, and his speed is tremendous with his hands. His speed is tremendous with his hands. He kind of reminds me of Trent. And I know we saw Trent kind of get beat up in the Super Bowl, but that is not the norm with Trent Williams. So I moved on past that. I moved on past that, and I know a lot of people will say, you know, man, you got a chance to draft the quarterback, then draft that quarterback. But to me, guys, Howell didn't really do a bad job. Everybody on our offense was set up last year. Everybody. Ron Rivera set everyone up. And then he tried to use the defensive coordinator, I forgot his name, as a scapegoat. You know? I think that when Howell had a decent offensive line, he showed us good quarterback play, consistent quarterback play. So I feel that you don't really need to go out and draft another quarterback early. I just don't think that Washington needs to do that. Get this tackle, man. I knew it was coming. Go ahead.
hey, bro. First of all, you know I'm with you.
You don't know what to say.
Hey, look, I'm trying to be nice, man. I'm trying.
Okay,
bro,
man, we on the corner, man.
But you my brother, man. You my. We at the same dinner table. So
you better tell the truth.
Listen, man. Listen, you are right there. Howell was dealt a bad hand last year. And if we can blame anything, we can blame the coaches. Yes, the O-line was terrible in the beginning of the season. But Eric Bieniemy and company found a way to make that line better. And towards the end of the season, they actually looked night and day different. Now, they wasn't top tier. Don't get me twisted. The person that was – so it, we went through this whole thing where the line was no good. Then when they start protecting Howell start making bad choices. So
he was shot. He was helmet shot, bro.
No, that wasn't helmet shot. I will say it has a lot to do with the coaches. Now Eric Bieniemy too, you know, I know he was dealt a bad hand. So he wasn't able to focus on what he was supposed to focus on, which was Sam Howell, the development of Sam Howell. Because I'm sure that the stuff that we didn't know, they was dropping that in his lap too. You know what I mean? Because if you pay attention to the way they just rebuilt the team, they got a coach for everything. They got a head coach for every position. You know what I'm saying? So when you look at it from that perspective, I give you that. But Sam Howell he can't be compared to these three individuals. He can't be compared to these three quarterbacks. These three quarterbacks have abilities that he don't have right now. Noah?
How can we be so sure it'll translate to the NFL game? How can you be so sure?
That's what you pay the scout department for. And this is what guys make their reputation or break their reputation. So if your scout department says, look, Drake May and Caleb, we have graded them out, and in every draft they would be in, these are top-tier picks that you make if you got picks in the top of the draft. If your guys tell you that, then you draft them, and you go ahead with that decision. Now, if they tell you they unsure, that's when you get into what Kayla said, where you go and grab the tackle and get the secure good pick. But you can't pay them people to be your scout department and then don't listen to them, you know, when it really matters. And this is when it really matters.
and see, like he just said, though, the bottom line is, like, when you first get these players and you don't have the proper personnel to train these guys, I do believe, like I said, Sam was dealt a lot of players are dealt a bad hand previously when – in the past years dealing with Washington, because our team, the coaches didn't want to come there. You know, this was the first year in my lifetime where I've seen coaches that actually desire to come to Washington who just weren't fans. You know what I'm saying? We a big, fat, juicy steak right now. We a big, fat, juicy steak, and they want to come. Everybody want to come. You can come. You can, all y'all can come. Come on, come on. And that's what just happened. I know the world is shocked by what just happened because I'm shocked, but I'm happy. You know, I do not agree. I do agree that we should take another old lineman in the early rounds, but I believe a lot of those old linemen will still be there in when we pick number two.
In the second round.
When we pick in the second round, our second
I guarantee
second pick in the second round.
I guarantee
who y'all gonna pick two?
Joe Alt will not be there.
Alt gonna be gone. But Kel, if y'all really think Alt is a great player and y'all don't think Drake May is gonna get it done, y'all could easily trade down out of that pick and position yourself to get Joe Alt and a couple other picks where you want them, because somebody else is gonna overpay for Drake May. So you could easily do that if y'all want to. I just think y'all scouting team is gonna tell them that Drake May is the real deal. So we're gonna see.
And that would be a dumb, dumb, diddly dumb move, man.
What would be a dumb move, Joe?
Exactly what he just said. If these Bammers do that, right, I swear, I will swear to not watch football this entire season. If they don't, I'm trying to tell you, you won't have to worry about me being Dennis the Menace, Cam, because I won't watch football this whole season. You won't have to worry about no Redskins talk from me.
If that trade happened and then Drake May is terrible his rookie year somewhere else, you're going to have to call and apologize to Kel. You're going to be like, oh, Kel, you called it. I can't believe it. But with that said,
I'm okay with that. I'm okay with that. But I'm talking probability, baby. Probability.
No, I'm with you. I'm with you. From what I've seen of him at North Carolina, that dude really good, man. And if you can't get Kel, take that dude.
I'm gonna be honest with you. I don't think we're getting Drake May. I don't think they're gonna pick him, even though
everybody
thinks
that's LSU.
I think we're gonna take him.
But you know what? My question though is with Caleb Williams, their size. You know, Justin is pro body ready. You know, Caleb is smaller, but Daniels is smaller also. So
he's like a Emmanuel Forbes quarterback. You're right.
You know, can they take that, withstand that hit, that pressure? You know, especially if you ain't got a good offensive line protecting them.
And Daniels has a way of not avoiding hits where he be getting cartoon knocked out sometimes. I don't know why the hell he get hit so long, but man, he be getting cracked. But yeah, love that
knock,
man.
Not cartoons.
If that coaching staff that we just got, that this man is paying all his money for, it's got to be coin-based based on how they took a title cut. But I know I know the pay cut is tremendous. You know what I'm saying? I know the pay is tremendous for them to take a title cut. For this man to build this team and put all this money behind all these top-tier coaches that could be the next guy, you know what I mean? And they can't do what needs to be done with any one of these players, then once again, now we got to question the system. Because I believe, like you said, Carol, I do believe that we have the coaches that can help Sam Howell. But Sam Howell shouldn't have never went through all of that emotional turmoil that he went through last year on account of.
Yep.
Go ahead. My bad.
I view that as strength. I view that as motivation for him.
Mm-hmm.
You know, thing we know for sure, the mistake that he made last season, he won't make them this season, bro. Those mistakes that he made that we were like, man, what the heck is he doing? And this, he's not going to do that this season. So
yeah, I think he's gonna be better too.
Yeah, and why go out there jumping and because everybody's saying, oh, this guy is the number one, that guy is the number one, and totally mess your chemistry up that you already have with your team, with your offense. Seriously.
Come on, Kel. You for real?
Man, Sam Howell, yes. Sam Howell threw some dimes last year, man.
But the chemistry you're talking about, they about to redo everything over there. They about to rebuild a whole new chemistry.
Well, let me just fix this for y'all. Just send us Sam Howell for a six-round pick to Atlanta. And you know what I mean? Everybody gets out fine.
No.
Nah, we keep Sam Howe. We going to showcase Sam Howe. We
not getting a first of all.
We finna showcase Sam Howe. Sam Howe is going to make all of those dudes that anybody that we draft, Sam Howe is going to give them a run for their money with this new coaching regime. So he is going to develop into a great quarterback. Don't get me wrong. What I'm saying is we also going to showcase him and be able to get something way better than a six-round pick.
See what I mean about these D.C. DMV folks? So, Carol, we go back to the Cutlass we were talking about earlier. So y'all going to put that Cutlass in the backyard, build it up, shine it up, and now y'all going to want full value for it. Y'all ain't even going to let it go for me.
Hey,
you know what I mean?
Nah. You know why?
Because
he's going to be a dominant. He's going to be a dominant backup. Well, Dallas always got a dominant backup, a backup that can just come in and refill, and sometimes they get even better, depending on the day.
Hey, Nas.
Yeah.
Just yesterday, okay. I'm coming home. Yesterday, I'm coming home from work, right? Dude had a 55 Cadillac. That joker was beautiful. That joker, look, with the wing back, man, that joker was beautiful, man. I pulled beside him. I say, man, what year is this joint? He said, 55, bro. I say, man, you still got that joint on the road, huh? He's like, man, she been driving for me ever since I bought her. I said, well, what have you done? He said, little minor stuff, man. Oil change, tune up, you know. I ain't have to do a whole lot to it. That's Sam Howe, bro. That's Sam Howe. All you're going to need is the tune-up and the oil change, and he's going to be consistent out there, man. He's going to be consistent out there. And now, as far as Washington's receivers go, I think we're going to have a little mix-up there with the receivers because some guys just want gone. Some guys want to be gone. They don't want to be a part of the team anymore. I understand that. That's your choice. Hey, your career, you make your move. But for the people that are still there, man, Sam Howell gonna have them dudes playing like pro bowlers, man. Watch what I tell you, man.
Man,
I got faith in them dudes. I think, hey, Marcus, I think when Sam Howell went down, when his production went down, I think the coaches told him, we tanking, man. We tanking. You better not win another game. We are tanking. We need that second
pick. I could somewhat go with that. You know, I would somewhat go with that, but I don't know, bro. I don't know. I do think Sam Howell.
You ain't got to tell him to do it, though. You know,
Yeah, I believe in Sam Howell. Don't get me twisted. But we it's been a long time since we had a quarterback. See, the thing is, man, we settle because we haven't had greatness on our team, like great on our team, bro.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? So we settle. We
You're
like,
right.
Yeah, we'll take a Sam Howell. And Sam Howell is good. You know what I'm saying? Don't get me wrong. But I'm looking for something spectacular.
Hey, but now who was there who talking about they would who don't mind having two good quarterbacks? I feel the same way. I was like,
that's
you
me.
Know, you Marcus?
Yeah.
Okay, I agree with you, man. I was telling him, man, I'll go on and draft Caleb Williams and keep Justin and keep that flame on him. And then if he don't do so good, I get rid of him after that next year. If you know that's a possibility. But I like that competition between the quarterbacks.
Yeah.
And
I
like you said,
let me get this.
Go ahead.
I was gonna say, I hear what y'all saying, but the new NFL where the quarterback has a year on the contract and they want to get him on the field as soon as possible, the quarterback, his agent is going to try to force y'all hand to get rid of any backup that could be competitive or consider somebody to where if he play bad, the crowd going to call for it. So the two quarterback thing, that just don't work no more, man, because if you bought in or you part of that number one pick team, you just can't allow that, man. You got to get them folks out of there. You don't want somebody to come in and Joe Flacco.
I dig that, but with so many quarterbacks that have been hurt this year, your top quarterback's out, you know, you need to have a heck of a bagger. We see when you
that's
get drugs bagging
problem.
You up.
That's the franchise problem, not your problem, as the agent for that quarterback.
Hey, it is what
but
it is. We're going to still pay you. We still paying you. I hear what you're saying now. Don't get me wrong. I hear what you're saying. But my thing as a general manager, as the owner of this Western name, is to produce the win. It's produce a championship. And if, you know, if the heat is on you, that's what it is. Hey, I'm paying you. That's what's happening. And it's just what it is. That's my thought. 20%. You know? A little competition ain't never hurt nobody. You better get it. You better just tighten up.
And this is what you gotta think though, man. Look at this. we draft the quarterback, right?
Mm-hmm.
They duke it out all preseason, right? Then we showcase them. We develop them with the new coaches. They duke it out, showcase them. Now he becomes a little bit more valuable, right? And we trade them all for something great. You know what I'm saying? Like, if it comes down to what you're saying, where it's becoming a problem in the locker room, but with this coaching staff and all these new moving parts, these people, the old dynasty of Washington and this low hanging fruit and this inability to lead and this inability to show these young kids how to be men and all that foolishness off the field and all that kind of garbage with dudes chewing snuff on the sideline. Hey, bro, that stuff is dead, bro. It's dead. So us trying to think, like, we still thinking like I'm a Redskins fan. So I had to keep checking myself, like, hold on. This ain't the Redskins of my half a life, because Dan Snyder has owned this team for so long.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? This is a whole new organization, and we have yet to see what it does. Last year wasn't nothing. That dude just allowed these guys to come in, right, and let them just finish out their tenure respectfully. That's all he did, because he could have fired them then, but he had a plan, and you see what his plan is, and it's evident. And I'm glad he took his time.
Yeah, I can agree with all of that. I can agree with all of that. This roster of coaches was meticulously put together. Serious. the fact that, like you say, everybody on this staff could be a head coach anywhere. Everybody. And that, to me, tells that more attention will be paid to detail. More will be – there's no such thing as the little stuff anymore. You know, I used to be so mad when I watched training camp daily, and I see they got the music blasting and people walking around dancing, and I'm like, these Bama guys, like, they was a 13 and 14 last year, you know? I don't expect to see that this year. Now, I know Quinn, because you hear Dallas players saying that they want to come to Washington, because Quinn is that type of coach, you know, where you want to be with him. He's going to put you in the best position. He's going to make sure that you have all you need to be successful. So with that being said, I'm looking at it like this. Quinn, he that man, if he can't do it, nobody can. You get that?
Oh, wow.
And look, wow. Quinn is a better coach than people think, Kev. He kind of, like, yeah. The thing that happened in Atlanta was that loss was so tragic for the franchise and some of the fans that he just had to have a change of scenery in Atlanta.
Well,
as far as what he did while he was here, that's multi-playoff teams, a team that was on the verge of winning the Super Bowl, and that loss just ruined everything there. So he built his rep back up in Dallas. And, yeah, I think Quinn's going to do good for y'all, man. He's not a bad coach like people say.
Let me tell you this. If anybody else was the head coach or offensive coordinator, Atlanta would have won that Super Bowl. Y'all got hit with that Shanahan.
Talk that talk.
You know, that's everybody want to say Shanahan is this and Shanahan is that. Nah. All right, fellas. I hate it. I love this conversation, but it's that time. I want to thank you guys for your participation. Hey, it was a good show, a great show. Remember what I always say. No phone call or text is more important than your life. So put that phone down. No drink. No phone call, no text, no drink. More important than your life. Put that thing up. I'll see you guys on Tuesday. Good Lord willing. Thank you guys again for your participation. You know what? We're going to let my man Ted. Come on, Ted. Give me the last word for the show.
Hey, I just want to say, man, to all the brothers, man. This I wish you guys success, man, and keep God first, you know, and your family first, man. And just man, man, as we know that we become the kings and be the kings that we are, man. And also, just be safe out there and everything. And like you say, keep your head on the swivel.
All right. Y'all heard it. That last phrase was everything. Keep your head on that swivel. And we'll be back with you guys at Tuesday and have us another great conversation. All right.
Once upon a time, Brooklyn was the scene. In the project that they call for Green, the little young man, Cinderfell is his name. To make it interesting, it's me, Dana Dane. I live in a house with my crew stepdad and two stepbrothers who treated me bad. I cook, I clean, I scrub the floors, and I was like an errand boy running to the stores. My brothers, they used to boast and brag. We've got fresh gear and you've got rags. Even worse than that, to make me feel low, they gave me a straw hat. While
black hangers. Girls used to say, dang, you're so cute, but you get no rap with them polyester suits. Well, one day up the avenue, there was a man surrounded by the four green crew. He said,
hear ye, come one, come all. The princess is having a royal ball. If you can rap also dressed fresh, you might win a date with the sweet princess.
Well, I ran home when I heard the newsflash. I bust through the door, straight to my stepdad. I said, stepdad, may I? And before I could finish,
hell no,
he replied. My brothers began when they would get down. Even Pop was gaming for a piece of the crown. They flaunted, they haunted, they knew what I wanted. We can and you can is what they taunted. They all stood there, laughing in my face. And as they walked out, they said, clean up this place.
This is a bad idea today.
But I'm laughing. I hiss, they're all trying to diss. I'd get them back if I had one wish. Before I could make my thought a phrase, there appeared a man from a puff of haze. He said,
what's up, Dane? My name is Herb. I'm your fairy godfather. You know it's word. Now, I came here with the main purpose of granting you your fondest wish.
I said, Herb, my man, just make me fresh. You know, I'm sure that I can handle all the rest. With a snap of his fingers, I began to shoot. And I was huffing on my body a slick silk suit. On my feet, there was all gal socks and a fresh pair of ballys from the ballet shop. I showed him my hat, and don't you know, with a snap, the hat became a tango. Once again, his hand began to flow. Then he changed my skateboard into a Volvo. He checked me over, passed me the keys, and said,
one more thing before you leave. You must return before the stroke of 12, or you turn back into your old self.
It's a bad day today,
but I'm laughing day to day with that. It was after 11 when I rocked the mic, and by the time I left the stage, the people were hyped. The princess was staring in disbelief. Reflecting from my eyes were my goatee. She waved her hands like, hello, hi. Then gave another gesture like, come here, guy. I left the stage, girls came in flocks. Fists were swaying from the hard rock. I heard a sound, not a tick nor talk. Gong first bell before 12 o'clock. No time to waste, I broke out in haste. The princess followed in a futile chase. A quick steady pace is what I kept. Lost one of my ballys on one of those steps. For the very road, I continued my stride. About this time, I heard gong 5. I was down the block when I heard gong 8. And the princess screamed out, wait, 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 wait.